Find in your notes, making the most of homework. Making the most of homework. And I'll go ahead and give a disclaimer right up front. I wish this wasn't the case, but hopefully it'll still be useful to you. This is a workshop that's supposed to be a two-hour workshop, so there's no way we're going to get through it all. But I tried to put it together in your notes in such a way that you can still just see where we would have been headed. Towards the end that I don't expect to have time to get to, there's no blanks to fill in. So you won't find yourself saying, what goes in the blank? All right, so just breathe easy. We won't get through it all, but I hope that what we do cover you'll find very helpful, and you can explore some more of it on your own. So here's the gist of this. I hope some of you might find this so basic and think, whatever, but maybe others of you will find this helpful. But as you counsel, one of the biggest challenges is that I want to give goat homework, and I'm always trying to think, all right, what's a good thing on this, and what's that, and what's out there now? And so, again, I'm just giving you my personal experiences. I value so much when I hear someone else talking, or even in our own churches, I'm meeting with another staff member or one of our lay counselors, and they say, I always do such and such, or here's something I have put together. I always say, send that to me. I'm always looking for good stuff. And sometimes you find out, I didn't even know that was out there. I didn't know that book was there. I didn't know. So I'm going to share with you, and I'm happy to receive. Email me if you say, here's something else. You didn't mention that. I use this all the time. I'd love to know that. But I sat down and I did this for our own church because we do a conference each fall, and our counseling team said, Brad, would you put together a workshop and just share what are the things you use the most? What are the things you do the most? And that's what this is about. All right? So, number one, this might seem obvious, but use Scripture. Use Scripture. There's a lot of different ways to get this done, but make sure you use Scripture. The more you counsel, if you're not careful, you can start to get more excited about some of the other things than Scripture itself. And you still, as a human being, have the danger of getting drawn into big dialogues back and forth with them, and you haven't used the Scripture. Happened to me in the last year. It was a night that was one of those, you know, kind of Mount Carmel nights where you feel like you're just having a showdown with the prophets of Baal. There's one woman, but seemed like the prophets of Baal. And you know how it feels, just like, man, we've gone to war here. I'm not getting anywhere. She said, I said, she said, I said. And I thought I was saying good stuff, you know. But it was intense, and I was exhausted. It was just like, And as I got in my car to drive home, and I was just on the first street, down the street from I was on Mount Zion Road. It's like the Holy Spirit said, you didn't use Scripture. I've been a pastor 26 years. I've been counseling 20 years. I've been teaching here. So my first response was to push back, like, God. But then I thought, I didn't. I quoted some. But still, when I say use it, I found that it's very different when you slow down and you say, you know what? Turn in your Bible too and read that. And so I repented on Mount Zion Road, and I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to do better. Because that wasn't my last session. There was going to be more. And we just kind of agreed to go our separate ways for a night. And that week, I prayed, and I prepared, and I thought of everything that I could do, of every passage that might be related to her issue, of everything. And so I just had on my agenda sheet then that next week, just down the left-hand side, these verses. Not intending to use them all, but just say, God, if you open up an opportunity, if we go back there again, I want to be ready. And it happened. The opportunity opened up, and instead of me jumping in and persuading and trying to say this, that, and the other and arguing, I said, you know what? Turn in your Bible too and read that. And she opened her Bible on the front edge of my desk, and she started to read, and she didn't get through the first sentence, and her lip began to quiver, and she choked up and stopped, and I just waited till she regained composure and then finished reading that. The effect of God's Word was beyond all of my persuasive talk that I've been doing. But you can get caught up in it and just, she says, you say, she says, you says, and just slow it down and use Scripture. Get them to memorize Scripture. Get them to memorize it and create a Scripture memory list for yourself. I don't want to reinvent the wheel every week, so I've got a list that I'm constantly working with. What are my favorite verses for certain issues and things? And by the way, a lot of the things, almost everything that I'm going to share in this workshop, what I did is I took all this stuff and put it on my website. So I have a website, bradbigney.com. It's bradbigney.com. When you go there, there's a list of workshops and links. Pick the one that says making much of homework or making good use of homework. When you click that, it'll have all these things that I'm sharing. So if I talk to you about a list of Scripture verses I use for Scripture memory, it's there. Everything that I'm going to talk about is there. And so you can just take it, use it however you want to. But I have this list then that I go to and I think, all right, what verse do I want them to memorize? I have verses that I use when I'm first getting started, verses towards the end of graduation, verses related to this, that, or the other. They may not be your favorite ones, but it'd be something to start with. You can go there and get everything else. Find ways to help them memorize. Have them write it out on a 3x5 card. Have them say it aloud in the car, on the bathroom mirror, a kitchen window. I know this may seem just juvenile, but I find that as I try to get people to memorize, you're going to have to push them and help them. And people will say, well, I can't memorize. Yes, you can, especially men. They'll say, they just rattle off baseball statistics and football statistics and pitching statistics and who has an ERA, this. I'm like, you've learned what's important to you. You care, and you're trafficking in it so much. And I just continually say, you've got to say it aloud. So I'm a believer that you've got to say it aloud. When you see it and say it, it just helps. So I say, get it in the car, on a card, and say it out loud. So whatever you're trying to memorize, say it out loud. And guys, it's usually guys, they just want to open their Bible and look at the passage that I'm asking them to memorize and move their eyes across it a couple times, and they come back, and it's just a mess. They don't have it. And I'll say, write it on a 3x5. Now, even since I did this workshop, there's a new thing that I saw that we're using at our church for our men's leadership when we memorize a lot of Scripture called Scripture Typer. Maybe some of you know that. Scripture Typer. It's a free website. And you type the Scripture, and as you work on it, then it drops fewer words, and it shows fewer words, and you're typing without the words until finally you got the whole thing. Like my wife's using that with a group of friends right now. Just find ways to help them memorize Scripture because it is that important. I mean, I find in my own life, this is not like, well, that would be good for you. It's good for me when I memorize Scripture. I'm currently memorizing Scripture, so I'm not asking them to do something I'm not doing. You know, God put his finger on a couple issues in my life and said, you need to move ahead a little in these areas right here. And I picked out new Scripture. And I don't do this with my counselees, but for myself, I like memorizing passages, not just an isolated verse. I want to see the whole thing. Well, I've been getting discouraged in ministry. Imagine that. I can't imagine why. But I've been getting discouraged in ministry. I got to be reminded, what is ministry really all about? What is going on? I've memorized, and I'm memorizing, and I'm quoting. So yesterday when I was on the treadmill in the hotel over there, I know it. I said it aloud. I was the only person in there. I was able to say 1 Peter 2:5-11, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Just to be encouraging, I'm supposed to shepherd. I'm supposed to give oversight. They're going to have problems. I mean, some mornings when I'm meditating, it's like, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. I can stop right there and say, okay, not who I wish I had, but who I have that is among you. You see, when you memorize something, see, the goal even, Scripture doesn't talk about memorizing. You know that? Scripture talks about meditating. But I can't meditate until I've memorized. Then once I've memorized, I can break it apart and just sit on certain phrases, you know? Exercising oversight. Okay, I'm supposed to give oversight. You know, sometimes I'm a teacher. I would just love to teach and preach. Please, someone else lead this big mess. I don't want to have meetings. I hate meetings. Oh, I hate meetings. But I have to have meetings. Well, that passage helps me. He doesn't tell me just to preach. He says, giving oversight. And then if I'm not careful, I just want to cut to the chase and have a short meeting. Just say, do it. Do it. That's the logo I want. That's the banner I want for Easter. Do it. Do we have to meet for 45 minutes? That's domineering over the flock. I shouldn't do that. I should get ideas and opinions and colors and shoot me in the head. Just make an Easter banner with the service times. But 1 Peter 2:11, you know, helps me, all right? Giving oversight, not domineering over the flock, being an example to the flock. And then I can say, and when the chief shepherd appears, appear now before this next Easter meeting. Appear now. When the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. I got to memorize Scripture. I'm memorizing 2 Corinthians 3:1-4:18. Just again to see, all right, you know, how am I supposed to do ministry? You know, when you get to chapter 4 and you're like, three times he says, therefore we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. I want to know how Paul didn't lose heart because I'm about to lose heart. Scripture helps me. I'm memorizing Scripture. Scripture helps me in my fight against sin. I've been trying to strategically beef up again passages about pride. I do not want to become proud. I do not want to go down in flames. I do not want to be that guy. And so I'm memorizing 2 Chronicles 26:15-16, talking about Uzziah. His fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. But after